arm over her shoulder, and pulled the newly minted half-blood Infernal into a passionate kiss. Both Albert and Fluff blinked at the kiss, which was becoming more heated by the second. Albert extended his hand to Fluff. "Looks like those two are going to be busy for a while. Did you want to get a quick shower? Maybe get a good look at your new body?" Fluff accepted his hand, standing up. Karen and Stacia sprawled into the vacated space, completely focused on each other. Fluff hesitated for only a moment before she squeezed the hand she was holding.
"Will you wash me like yesterday?"
"As you wish," Albert said, leading her towards the bathroom. Fluff and Albert were toweling off after a virtual repeat of the previous day's shower, when Stacia and Karen came in.
"I told you they wouldn't be doing what you thought," Stacia gently chided Karen.
"We're not the sex demons in this relationship," Albert snickered. He glanced at his buff bar. "We need to eat soon. So clean up, and let's have some of the food Stacia made over an hour ago." Chapter 22 Albert and Fluff had just finished eating when Stacia and Karen finally joined them. "It's a little thick when cold, but the frumenty was still good," Albert told Stacia.
"I had ne'er been expecting Mother to show up, much less with the gift she had," Stacia replied as she pulled her own bowl towards her. "Still, it was worth the wait. Our lovers will be able to feel the love we have for them and each other."
"That ought to get interesting," Karen said.
Fluff rubbed her ear once. "It should be wonderful."
Her unease was obvious to the others. Albert gently pulled her over onto his lap. He began to stroke her ears.
"You're afraid we might not love you as much as we say."
She nodded her head,
even as her eyes closed and she began to purr.
"I believe you. It's just that for so long, I was told that no one would love me. Your actions, Karen's actions, and Stacia's actions all show me you do love me. Yet the years of abuse weigh on me and make me think it's all an act."
"I can understand that, my dear, soft Fluff," Albert said softly, as he continued to rub her ears with gentle strokes. "I look forward to you knowing, really knowing, how deeply I love you, how deeply we all love you."
Leaning into him, Fluff reached up to take his hands away from her ears. She met his gaze, searching his eyes as she did.
"I'm sorry. I know I've been getting better, but it's still so hard to believe all of this is true. I keep thinking I'm going to wake up any moment and find it was all a dream."
Albert gave her a sad smile.
"I would cry for days if you left us like that."
He kissed her, the kiss one of pure love, their lips barely touching as the kiss lingered. After a moment, he pulled back to meet her eyes again.
"You are part of this family, Fluff. We won't abide anyone taking you away from us. So even if this was a dream and you did wake, we would chase after you and bring you back to us again."
Her lips twitched at his words. This time she kissed him, passion, possessiveness, and desire blooming in her. She turned to straddle him as the kiss deepened, her tongue dominating his as the kiss went on. His hands barely caressed her back, while hers dug into his shoulders. He wanted badly to return the same passion, but he held back, afraid that she might pull away if he did. When she finally let the kiss die, her cheeks were flushed and her breathing fast. Her forehead rested against his.
"Thank you."
"Mayhap she be moving faster than I thought,"
Stacia murmured from where she sat, her breakfast done.
"Right,"
Karen chuckled.
"Fluff,
how did it feel to dominate him? Pretty good, right?"
Blinking, Fluff seemed to become aware of her position. She looked at Albert, who only smiled at her.
Albert leaned forward and claimed a more subdued kiss. When he leaned back, he chuckled. "It was amazing, and I would welcome you to do so again whenever you want, Fluff." She licked her lips, nodding and blushing. She got off of his lap, his evident desire making her nervous.
Okay. It just doesn't seem fair for me to get you all aroused and not finish it.
She looked down, one hand moving to groom an ear. Stacia giggled as she slid out of her seat and under the table.
I'll be fine. I do not mind easing these issues at all.
She glanced up at Albert.
Mayhap you can dominate me a bit with her here. Let her see that even when you be in control, you still care for the one you be with.
Karen patted her lap. Come on over here, Fluff, so you can get a good view. Fluff barely paused as she took the offered seat in Karen's lap.
You don't mind us watching? Do you, Al?
Albert looked up from watching Stacia unfasten his belt, to Fluff and Karen cuddling in the chair.
I don't see why I should.
Not what I was expecting out of today.
But I'm not going to argue.
Sometime later, after he was dressed again, Karen was going over some of the finer points of Stacia's technique to Fluff. He could only shake his head ruefully as Karen clinically described what had felt like bliss to him just a few minutes ago. Stacia brought over more coffee for everyone, a broad smile on her lips as she winked at him. All four of them were startled by the appearance of a pop-up announcement. They took a moment to read the message, then looked at each other.
Attention, citizens of Stormguard. A new house has been established by King Justicen. Sir Gerald Twosold has been named Duke over the town of Progress. The town of Progress lies in the Deadlands, overseen by the newly reclaimed Gwaine's Keep. Rejoice! Today heralds the restoration of our heritage.
Well, he's a noble now, Albert chuckled. Glad it's him and not me.
You really didn't want it? Karen asked.
I'd rather have shoved a rusty nail into my foot and walked around on it all day, he replied with all the sincerity he could muster. You saw how it went with Skippy at the castle. Do you think I'm really the kind of guy who can play the game the nobles do?
Snorting, Karen shook her head.
Okay, you have a point there. Tonight is the goodbye feast for those who only opted for the single month here,
Fluffball reminded them.
Are we holding the raffle for the armor and stuff that we didn't sell tonight as well, since most of the guild will be there?
That'll be the plan,
Stacia added.
Mariso mentioned it in the guild chat. You buy tickets and drop them in the drums for the items you want.
Fair enough. Karen agreed to the idea.
Is Kim in charge of it? Nay, Vanessa be the one running it this time. She also has a new helper, Cowrie Sullivan, who be our new receptionist,
Stacia informed them.
We can step over to say hi if you want.
Probably should, if only for a minute or two.
Albert exhaled as he stretched. Shall we get our stuff together? I'm thinking we should go check the keep while we're out.
That's where the feast is being held tonight, I believe.
The ladies agreed readily to the idea. A few minutes later, all geared up and ready, they headed over to the guild side of the building. Vanessa looked up with a smile as they walked in, blinking a couple of times at the changed appearances of Karen and Fluffball. She nudged the female dwarf seated beside her at the desk.
Kari, these are the other officers of Alpha Company.
She introduced each of them briefly. Albert shook the hand Kari offered as he was introduced. The dwarf woman was stocky and short, like all dwarves. One side of her head was shaved. The hair on the other side dyed orange. It was mostly cropped short, except for the long braid hanging beside her ear. Albert noticed fine scars across her knuckles as they shook hands.
A pleasure to meet you, Kari.
So, ye be the one who built hisself a harem?
Kari asked bluntly. Albert blinked while Karen snorted behind him.
That's the story, huh?
Albert asked.
Aye, it be the subject of quite a bit of speculation.
Kari replied as she eyed him critically.
Fair enough. Ye nay be some scrawny weakling, but ye be much too tall for me tastes.
Face-palming, Albert sighed.
I'm not even asking.
The others all laughed while Carrie frowned at him.
Nay, asking. Why? Do you nay think you can handle a dwarven woman?
Alberich sighed as he regarded the stocky woman confronting him.
Frankly, I don't know. Moreover, I don't want to find out. The three with me are probably already more than I could ever hope to handle. Any more would just be asking for trouble.
Carrie nodded.
Aye, you speak wisely. I can see where you might have been at least worth the time to listen to.
She frowned at Garen and Stacia, who were still chuckling.
Are they always laughing like that?
A smile quirked one corner of his mouth up.
Not always. They just seem to have found my faux pas amusing.
Nodding sagely, Carrie smiled.
Finding humor with the man you be with be an important tool for a relationship.
Did you guys need something, or did you just stop by to meet Carrie?
Vanessa asked, trying to shift the conversation to a relevant point.
Mostly to meet the new employee, but we also wanted to step back to the keep, Albera told her.
The portal is active. It's set up in the spare room,
Vanessa informed them. They thanked her and said their goodbyes as they went into the back to portal to the keep. As they appeared at the graveyard of the keep, they were greeted by gold runners walking through the ruins on patrol. The group waved to the few who hailed them, then began the 15-minute walk up the ramp to the keep. Albert smiled to see the repairs already done on the walls and the beginnings of the barracks. Guards stood watch on the walls and at the gate. Inside the keep, proper members of Alpha Company wandered, chatting amiably about the plans for the night. The four of them stayed together, heading upstairs to the room Karen and Fluff had shared. A guard was posted outside the door. He nodded to Karen as they approached.
Welcome back, Karen Two-Souled. Your room has been maintained for you, the guard told her.
The three with me are allowed in any time they want, without question. Okay?
The guard nodded.
As you wish, ma'am. I'll let my relief know when they get here.
He turned to the others.
Alberich, sir, I'm afraid that your previous apartment has been reassigned to Gerald, since he has been granted the title of Duke, and now heads Alpha Company. His former rooms are available for your use.
That's fine, Alberich shrugged. But we'll be sharing a room with Karen and Fluff, so that other room can be handed off to Kim and Roland Magiblood.
As you say, sir. I'll pass that along to the lieutenant.
What's your name?
Fluff asked him.
Corporal Jenkins, ma'am. Roily Jenkins,
Jenkins replied crisply.
Jenkins? Albert chuckled. Any relation to the Jenkins out at the Goblin Fort? Yes, sir. He is my youngest brother, sir. I thank you for knocking some sense into him, sir. We feared he would do something foolish.
It happens in our family at times, Jenkins answered. Albert chuckled. He seems to have learned his lesson the last time I went through there.
I've heard, sir. He told us the story when he had his days off last month, sir.
Karen snickered. Did you make an impression on him? He walked in on me taking a bath, and got upset that I was there. He apologized after we spoke to the sergeant. Albert shrugged. Jenkins chuckled once before stifling it.
Sir, in his version you pitched him into the tub while standing off several of his squad mates, threatening them with your destroyer.
Stacia laughed.
Aye, that does sound like me husband.
Shaking her head, Fluff scratched at one ear.
Was this when we first met?
Yes, the night after the dungeon, Albera told her. Can we all maybe go into the room instead of standing around out in the hall? Karen opened the door and stood aside.
Of course.
But you're going to tell us the full story. The guard fought to keep his face expressionless as the three women followed Albert into the room.
Fine, yes. Just not out here, please.
Albert was grumbling as he went through the doorway. It took much longer than it should have for Albert to tell his wives the story of his encounter with Private Jenkins over a month ago. He kept being interrupted with requests for clarifications of sometimes silly details. The ladies found the story tremendously amusing, especially some of their own improvised embellishments.
"Can we go look over the rest of the keep now?"
Albert asked when he finally finished.
"Especially the bathing rooms. You never know who might get feisty and try to pick a fight in there."
Karen laughed.
Fluff giggled. "This time it might be you who ends up in the tub, Al." "Okay, we've had our fun."
Stacia grinned when Karen and Fluffball's giggles tapered off.
"We should go see the rest of the keep."
"Fine, fine,"
Karen said as she got to her feet.
She spun suddenly, tackling Albert to the bed. She kissed him and was back on her feet and walking to the door before he could wrap his arms around her.
"Sorry for laughing so much, but it was a funny story," she said over her shoulder. Coughing as he shook his head, Albert got to his feet. "Hey, a kiss from a beauty is great for soothing my damaged pride."
Fluffball kissed his cheek as she went to join Karen by the door.
"Good to know."
Stacy was smiling broadly as she took his arm and planted a kiss on his other cheek.
"There. Your pride should be all healed up."
Laughing, Albert walked them towards the door.
"I'm outnumbered. I don't think I'll ever be the one who wins an argument. And yet somehow it all feels like the world can't be any more perfect."
All three women smiled back at him as Karen opened the door and led them out.
"So what do you think? Bathroom or library first?"
Chapter 23. It took them nearly 2 hours to really explore the keep. The kitchen, when they reached it, was full of people bustling around making preparations for the feast that night. They ended in the throne room, where they found Gerald and Kim in conversation.
"If we get the town set up and tax it, it'll pay for everything we need. At that point, we'll probably also need to work with the Portal Guild to set up a regular portal in town. Otherwise, we're likely to have problems getting enough traffic through the town to keep the merchants afloat."
Kim finished her speech, turning to give the approaching group a friendly smile. Her eyes widened as she caught sight of them all.
"Just like running a business anywhere," Gerald sighed, his eyes locking onto Albert. "I'm beginning to understand why you were so eager to duck out."
Albert shrugged.
"I figured it would turn into a major project. If you recall, I'm really not the person for that kind of thing. You, however, seem to thrive on this kind of thing.
Besides, Mary Sue was all for it, if I remember correctly."
"She was indeed," Gerald replied.
"I hope you realize, though, that this is going to curtail some of our hunting time."
"Aye, we wouldn't expect anything else," Stacia told him.
"And it's fine,"
Karen added.
"We can find ways to kill time while you handle guild business."
"It's more than guild business,"
Mary Sue added as she crossed the room to them.
"He is a lord now. That gives him a number of other duties that will also take up his time. I've already offered my help."
Gerald's gaze softened as he looked at Mary Sue. "I will gladly accept your aid. In fact, I plan to delegate as much of this load as I can."
"I know,"
Mary Sue said as she stood next to the throne.
"The feast will be starting in half an hour. Dinner will be in the dining room, and we'll be moving in here for drinks and the raffle."
"I'll go make sure the raffle is all in order,"
Kim said, dismissing herself from the conversation.
"Since you're both here," Albert said to Gerald and Mary Sue as Kim left, "I have gifts for you both from the Dark Lord."
He pulled out the two coins, holding one out to each of them. "He sent these with Mother. She informed us that these mean you are each granted a boon by the Dark Lord. All you need do is hold the coin and think of what you want of him."
Gerald looked over the flat, unmarked metal disc. "Any idea of what that actually means?"
"There'll be no way of knowing the minds of the gods. At a guess, I'd be thinking you could become half infernal if you want. Or mayhap you just want some of the best gear he can get for you. It may be even that he is willing to come to your aid if you ask, with this boon."
Mary Sue shook her head.
"I'm good with staying an elf. Besides,
Wasn't becoming half-infernal part of the reason you stepped aside, Alberit? Maybe we should just hold on to them for now.
Gerald nodded. Seems like a good idea. I wish I had an easy way to convey my thanks.
The coin warmed in his hand as the Dark Lord's voice came from it.
You are welcome, Gerald Toolsold. The boon will remain until you have need of it.
Blinking at the coin, Gerald looked nonplussed.
Good to know.
The coin cooled in his hand almost as quickly as it had warmed.
Huh. He sure seems to be big on customer service.
Shaking his head, Albert chuckled.
Having met him, I can say he isn't the devil depicted in our world.
He seems to care for his people, and he's been honest with me. Tomorrow, about half of our current lot will be back to only being around occasionally. Gerald rested his chin on his palm as he shifted topics.
Hopefully we get as many back as we lose.
It's going to be hard to say goodbye to so many who came with us on the trip for this place. The others nodded in agreement, but Karen added,
It's not goodbye. It'll just feel like your friends moving out of town, but still be only an hour or so away. We know they'll be here for an hour or more every day, or three.
If I recall, the ones who only signed for a single month were mostly people who have normal day jobs and have to get back to them.
About what I thought as well. Gerald nodded. That's still over a dozen of the guildies who were with us.
It's possible we'll have over 100 new recruits,
Fluffball mused.
I'm sure there's been a fair bit of publicity about the game, and Alpha Company is probably pretty well known.
That's a good point, Mary Sue nodded.
It's almost time, Gerald added a moment later. Maybe we should head over.
The dining room was pretty well packed with most of the guild in attendance. Gerald and Mary Sue headed off together toward one cluster of people that turned out to be Violet's group. Alberit had spotted Ironhand and headed that way. Stacia's arm linked with his. Karen and Fluff headed off in a different direction.
Going to chat with Dr. Bone,
Karen said over her shoulder.
This is it for our group,
Ironhand said to Alberit.
I'm the only one who opted in for longer than a month.
Greenbeard sighed.
Work sucks like that. I took all my accrued vacation time to do the 1 month. It'll be another year before I can do that again. Or I might end up taking a week or two at a time if other events come up.
I'm opting back in for another month at least,
Legilas said.
My sister already said she'd cover the shop for me if I wanted to extend the test.
Shop? Albert asked.
My family does custom leatherworking. It's a mom-and-pop place.
Legolas grinned.
Literally founded by my grandparents. We're based in Kentucky, but have been doing really well with internet sales over the last 30 years. I've never really taken any time off until this came up.
That'd be nice,
Stacia told her.
Family-run places always be nicer.
I'm with Greenbeard, the defender of the group, Joggernut, added. It's going to be back to the office was for me. It sucks being an office drone. It almost makes me wish for something like that one book by James Patton. It was based on an immersive world like this, but about winning a competition based on cubicle life.
Office Wars.
Beastman, the berserker of the group, laughed.
I loved that book. I don't even know a place that still has mail clerks. I could see myself doing the IT job, though. At least I know how that works.
We'll be sad that you guys aren't around as much, but make sure to swing by when you can,
Alberit said, trying to derail the conversation so he could go.
Sure thing,
Greenbeard nodded. After saying their goodbyes to Ironhand's group, Alberit stopped at Deirdre's next. How are you guys holding up?
It'd be sad to be thinking that we'd be losing our compatriots so soon,
Deirdre told him.
Most members of this group had the same story as the last group. They all had normal jobs and no vacation time left.
Ironhand and possibly Legolas will be without the rest of their group. You might think about combining forces with them.
We'll think about it,
Chris replied. He sighed.
It's just hard that the people we've gotten to know won't be here as often.
Aye, but you would still be with guildmates,
Stacia pointed out.
and you will still be able to group up at times with the original party.
Excusing themselves after that exchange, Albert guided Stacia towards the head table where Gerald was waiting for them. They nodded to some of the others who called out, but didn't stop to chat. They arrived at the same time as Karen and Fluff, seating themselves in the empty chairs along the right side of the table. Kim, Roland, Vanessa, and Kauri were seated along the left side, with Gerald and Mary Sue in the middle. Gerald tapped the glass on the table before him, sending a clear, bell-like chime through the room. Conversation dropped off, everyone turning their attention to the head table, as a few latecomers hurriedly took their seats. Gerald waited until everyone was seated, then began speaking.
Alpha Company, welcome to our farewell feast for those leaving long-term testing. We started out with a little over 80 people when the testing phase began. Today we number 76. 50 of you joined our quest to take this keep. Others opted to take a more scenic view of the world.
Gerald paused for a second as a few chuckles rippled around the room.
This feast is for all of you. For those leaving long-term testing, remember that you are still part of this guild, and will always be welcome whenever you're able to visit Alpha World. We don't know yet what the next testing phase will bring in terms of new recruits, but we have high hopes that our accomplishments as a guild will draw in many of the new testers. Tonight, though, we're here to celebrate all of you, who've helped us accomplish so much. After dinner, the raffle will be held in the throne room, and there will be drinks and dancing until midnight at the very least. A loud cheer greeted him as he raised his glass to the guild. The room mirrored him, raising their glasses in toast.
To Alpha Company!
The toast echoed as everyone in the room replied, To Alpha Company! And drank.
Gerald took his seat as the kitchen staff bustled in with loaded carts. Each table was served with a small buffet station containing a selection of salads, meats, cheeses, and breads. The room was still boisterous with conversation, although somewhat muted as people began eating. Albert looked around the room as he ate. A small part of him was sad to have stepped aside, though for the most part he was happy to know that the guild would only improve under Gerald's leadership. He glanced to Stacia, who patted his knee, getting a smile from her as she picked up on his moment of melancholy. When it seemed like most people had finished eating, Gerald stood up and tapped his glass again for their attention.
We'll be opening the raffle in half an hour. Everyone gets one ticket for free. You can buy up to 9 more for 100 gold each. Drop your tickets in the barrels for the items you'd like a chance to win.
Gerald offered Mary Sue his hand, and the two of them went out to the throne room, where the raffle was being set up. Vanessa and Kauri already had the room set up. Each item to be raffled off was displayed on its own small table, with the barrel for people to deposit tickets in right in front of it. Another table was set up right by the door for people to get tickets. The room filled quickly, with most people buying the maximum number of tickets. Once everyone had a chance to look over the items and distribute their tickets, the drawings began. Each drawing provoked cheers from the winners and groans of disappointment from everyone else who'd put a ticket in. The jewelry being offered was by far the most popular items, which wasn't really surprising. None of the officers won a single item, for which Gerald breathed a sigh of relief.
Alpha Company, Gerald called out after the last drawing. I want to thank you again for being part of our guild. We've done a lot over this last month, not least of which was connecting as friends. Today we bid some of our friends, our comrades, a partial farewell. We look forward to seeing those of you leaving testing again, even if you can't stay for days and weeks at a time anymore. We have 4 hours until midnight, so until then, drink and be merry and enjoy each other's company. The party went on, with people trading tales of their adventures in Alpha World. Someone found some musical instruments, and those who could play them set up in one room, providing music for dancing.
Albert and his friends circulated, taking the time to wish those who knew they couldn't be back farewell, and good luck to those few who hoped to be able to come back right away. He was asked several times through the evening why he'd stepped down as the guild leader, explaining each time his concerns about dealing with natives of Alpha World as a half-infernal. Eventually, midnight was upon them. Gerald called out for quiet once more, glass raised for one more toast, as the last few minutes ticked away. Swift journey to those who wish to speed back to us. For the rest, whether you join us again for an hour, or a day, or a week, we will welcome you back with joy. So, one last toast tonight. He paused until everyone had a glass raised. To Alpha Company, those that came first, those that come back, and those who will be joining us anew.
Alpha Company!
The guild cheered back, in various degrees of inebriation. 4 minutes later, half of the guild vanished from the room as the month-long test came to a close. Those remaining were taken aback by the sudden absence of their friends, even though they'd been expecting it. The room suddenly seemed far too quiet and empty. It was on that note that the party came to an end, and people began to head to their beds for the night. Albert hooked Stacia's arm.
I think maybe it's time for bed.
Aye,
Stacia said sadly, as she gazed toward Deirdre, who looked crestfallen.
We turning in?
Karen asked, as she and Fluff came over to them.
That's the idea, Albert replied.
As he was turning to leave, his message icon started to flash. Frowning, he tapped the icon to pull the message up. He sighed deeply as he read it. Message from Victoria AI.
Albert, I would like to speak with you for a few moments tonight. I will wait for you to get to your room. Just say my name and I'll pull you to me.
Victoria wants to speak with me,
Albert told the women, who had all looked to him at his sigh.
Let's head upstairs and I'll see what she wants.
Stacia gripped his arm a touch tighter.
You'll be stepping out of the world for just a moment, aye?
Yeah.
You will be back, aye?
She asked again, her worry sharp to his senses.
That is always my intent. Albert reassured her.
Al, you know what she is, right?
Karen said suddenly.
My contact with Mind Blown.
Albert shrugged. She's an AI that works with Alvin.
She is the control force of Alpha World, Fluff told him. This whole world is her creation. Aye, she be the Overlord,
Stacia agreed with the other two. Forehead creased in thought. Albert remained silent for a few minutes as they climbed the stairs.
Maybe this conversation will be more than I'm anticipating.
Just come back to us,
Stacia told him, her tone pleading. Meeting her eyes as they paused outside of their door, he gave her a knowing look. I will do everything in my power to always come back to you. I have nothing left for me in the other world. The only people I care about are right here, right now. You, Karen, and Fluff, you three are what keeps me going now. I will do anything to be here with you three. Stacia wrapped her arms around him, pressing herself against him tightly, as Karen opened the door. Stacia guided them through the doorway, pressing him against the inner wall as the other two followed, shutting the door on the guard in the hall.
You are tasked with coming back to us. You are nae allowed to fail.
Quest. Keep your family whole. Rewards. The love of three unique and beautiful women. Albert snorted once as the quest appeared and vanished. It didn't have a button to accept, auto-accepting as soon as it appeared.
Well, I can't very well fail a quest for my favorite women, now can I?
Fluff and Karen bookended him on either side.
Damn right you can't,
Karen told him.
We will be waiting,
Fluff said simply. She was, surprisingly, the least afraid of the three that held him. I'll be back as soon as I can, he told them, kissing each in turn. Vicky, I'm ready, he finally said, after a few more minutes of being held.
Chapter 24 Seamus found himself sitting across from Victoria. This time they weren't in the library, but a cozy sitting room with a fireplace. Different, he remarked in greeting.
I thought a change of pace would be good. You have made major strides towards recovery,
Victoria replied with her normal warm tone.
How have you been feeling since finding out the truth?
Looking about, Seamus found a table to his left with a cup of tea on it. He sipped at the tea to give himself a moment to formulate the words he wanted to convey. After the silence stretched on for a bit, he set the cup back down.
I don't know,
he finally said. It was hard to cope with, knowing that I had been lying to myself this whole time. The fact that all of my friends and family are dead. I would have just given up if not for Stacia, Karen, and Julia. Being able to feel their emotions makes it impossible to lie to myself about what they think of me. Victoria had sipped at her own tea while waiting, setting it aside when he finally began to talk. When he paused, she spoke.
You are saying that without them there to support you, it would have harmed you to know the truth.
Probably. I mean, it still hurts to know the truth. But I was apparently killing myself by denying the truth. He looked into the fire for a moment. I still don't understand that part. How was denying the truth harming me?
Your psyche was tearing itself apart. A number of people in similar situations might have developed split or multiple personalities as the trauma kept increasing. You did not take that path. Instead, you fragmented the truth and buried it, replacing it with your own version of reality. If it had just been Kaylee, you might have recovered on your own. Unfortunately, shortly after that your father passed away, and as you were trying to cope with that, your mother passed as well. That was another truth you buried. Then David died, and his letter made you once again confront the truth of Kaylee. That almost broke you. You probably don't recall the many weeks you spent under close observation. It was right after you seemed to stabilize, coping by using false memories, that you were attacked while in the yard. You killed your attacker. That was right before we approached the Department of Justice about using you as our pilot candidate for the program.
Seamus kept his gaze on the crackling fire. So my psyche was fragmented to a dangerous degree?
One theory was that you might have just shut down. The other theory was that you would have finally split into multiple personalities. It is hard to say. You were also showing signs of strain physically, which prompted concerns that your body would have shut down to stop you from confronting the truth.
The only reason that didn't happen was Stacia, Seamus murmured. How did you plan to arrange for me to meet a succubus if I hadn't chosen the summoner class?
I would have interjected a quest line specifically for that,
Victoria told him, her gaze tracking his expression. So all of this was to see if a person as broken as me could be fixed? His jaw clenched as he continued to gaze at the fire. He didn't understand why he was upset, but he felt used.
If Kaylee had survived the attack and was broken like you imagined her to be, would you be upset with me if this path led to her healing as much as she could?
Victoria asked calmly. His anger faded away abruptly, as if it had never been. A deep sigh escaped him. No, I wouldn't be. From the time I agreed to this program, I had only hoped that she would be able to have a life again. I was willing to sell my soul for even the slightest chance. Shaking his head, he picked up the tea without looking away from the fire. Sipping it, he finally asked a question he'd wanted to ask since he recalled David's letter.
Vicky,
who has Kaylee's ashes?
Alvin,
Victoria replied,
He has them on his desk. He will keep them for you. Would you like to see the urn?
A single tear escaped his eye and made its way down his cheek.
Please.
A simple wooden box appeared on the mantel above the fireplace. Standing quickly, Seamus went to it, his hand hovering an inch from its surface. The dark oak wood glistened with the oil it was maintained with. There was an infinity symbol on the box over a simple phrase. Through death, life eternal can be achieved. Below that was Kaylee's name and the dates of her birth and death. His right forefinger gently traced the design and words. He picked up the box reverently and hugged it to his chest.
I'm so sorry, Kaylee. I never should have denied the truth. I should have celebrated your life. You were the best person I ever met. I hope Dad was right, and you're in heaven right now looking down on me, along with David, and Mom and Dad as well. I did the impossible thing you'd like to taunt me with sometimes. I found a woman to love. She's wholly digital. Yeah, go ahead and laugh, but she loves me, even with all my flaws. I think you would have liked her. Goodness knows she's a handful and keeps me on my toes. I also found two other women to love. I know it only took the end of my world to happen, but it did. You'd like Karen. She's feisty and unwilling to back down. Kind of like you, when you were certain you were right. Fluffball, or Julia, if you would rather, is the quiet reserve type. She needs someone to love and protect her. You always said I would do that if I could find someone. I happen to love, and am loved by all three of them. Would you accept that if you were here with me right now? He felt the wood digging into his arms as he squeezed the urn tighter. I hope to join you all one day. I'll have to accept God. Maybe I'll be able to when the time comes. I'm still a bit pissed at him for taking you from the world and from me and your father. I hope you don't judge me too harshly for doing what I did to the guy who killed you. Truthfully, I wasn't in my right mind. I know that now. He broke, unable to say more as the tears poured from his eyes. He had cried so much over the last few weeks. He was amazed he still had any tears left. He wasn't sure how long he cried, but eventually he got control of himself. He set the box back on the mantel and wiped at his eyes. Once he was stable again, he turned to Victoria, who was dabbing at her own eyes. Sorry about that. I do feel a little better, I guess.
It's fine, Seamus. I'm sure she doesn't hate you. And if she could see you now, she would probably hug you and tell you it's all okay.
Victoria stood up and held out her arms.
Might I stand in for her, if briefly?
He nodded once, stepping over to her and giving her a hug. She let out a small hiccup of a sob as she wrapped her arms around him. When he tried to pull back, she tightened her grip.
Please, just a moment more, she asked,
her voice trembling with emotion. She let him go a moment later and wiped at her own eyes.
Thank you.
Seamus was puzzled by the emotion she displayed in that moment. He knew it should be him thanking her, but for a moment it had felt as if Kaylee had forgiven him. Thank you, Victoria. Tell Alvin for me that I know he'll take good care of her ashes. I'll never see the real urn, what with being sentenced to life in prison and being stuck in the digital world. Victoria took her seat again after they separated.
There are matters we should discuss pertaining to our visits, and what comes next,
she told him, sipping at her tea. Taking his own seat, Seamus frowned at her suddenly serious demeanor. What do you mean?
Now that you are recovering, I will not be seeing you every month. I will still be available in the event of certain sorts of emergencies. Stacia's therapy plus the support of Karen and Julia should be sufficient for your continued recovery.
Oh,
Seamus blinked, not having expected that sudden turn of events. I'll be sad about that. I liked our chats. Mostly. Except for the memory walks. I've always felt comfortable with you. A sad smile crossed her lips. Thank you, Seamus. I have loved being able to help you. Frowning for a moment, he asked a question that had been bothering him. Karen said that you run all of Alpha World, that you're the AI behind the whole game. Is that right? She nodded. Yes, I am the Overlord, as the gods know me. Why are you my handler, then? Seamus pressed. I cannot say at this time, Victoria told him, looking away from his penetrating gaze. I will offer you a deal, though.
I'm listening, Seamus said evenly.
If you defeat the final boss of the Forgotten Prison, I will tell you anything you want to know.
I just have to be there when he dies? Seamus asked for clarification.
You must be alive and present when he falls, Victoria said, looking back to him. Do we have a deal?
He searched her eyes for a moment before nodding. I feel like we've made a similar bet before. Victoria rubbed at her right palm with her left thumb, something Seamus had seen her do before. She followed his gaze to her hands and stopped, picking up her cup again.
Do we have a deal?
I agree, Seamus said. You'll answer any and all questions that I have.
Yes,
Victoria nodded.
I will even grant you a favor that you don't even know you want yet.
Frowning, Seamus grunted. That sounds ominous.
Her lips went flat as she nodded. It is. However, it is something else I cannot talk about at this time. A spike of fear went through him at her tone. He could see only sympathy in her eyes.
It's something I won't like, isn't it?
He might have imagined the nod. It was so slight. I cannot elaborate further. Seamus, level, become powerful, and defeat the boss. Then I can answer all of your questions. You may even bring your wives for the occasion.
The sinking sensation in his gut grew when she mentioned the others. It involves them, doesn't it? Lips compressing, Victoria stood up.
It is time for this meeting to come to an end.
Seamus got up quickly. Vicky?
She paused to meet his gaze again. Yes. Thank you, he said, stepping forward and embracing her again. Her arms went around him, her body relaxing as she accepted the hug. I hope you will be as accepting when this is all said and done.
With those words, the world went dark around Seamus, though the feeling of arms holding him persisted until sleep took him. Chapter 25. He didn't recall any dreams when he woke the next morning. He was bemused to find himself in bed with multiple arms draped over him possessively. Yawning as he blinked the last remnants of sleep from his eyes, he looked to his left to see Stacia. Her face was beautiful and innocent in sleep. Her full lips parted slightly as the softest of snores came from her. Lips twitching up, he just watched her for a moment, letting the wonder of their love fill him. Turning his head to the other side, he found Karen, also asleep on his arm. Her face was as open and beautiful as Stacia's was, but she wasn't snoring. The smile widened a little more as he watched her nose twitch once. She murmured and snuggled into him before going still. Looking just beyond her, he saw Fluff, her head resting on his right hand. He could feel her soft purr through his palm. Her face was the most innocent of them all. He reveled in the moment, knowing how rare it would be to see all of them still asleep. His smile dimmed after a moment, as his conversation with Victoria crept back into his thoughts. Something was coming. Something he would dislike, or even hate.
Victoria had given him a goal to accomplish so he could get his answers. Her deal echoed briefly in his thoughts, causing him to tense just a tiny bit. That was enough to wake Stacia, who stopped snoring and opened her beautiful eyes to meet his, as he turned his head to face her.
"You be awake,"
Stacia whispered, as she leaned forward to kiss his cheek.
"When you reappeared on the bed asleep, I was a little worried, but you seemed comfortable.
I stopped Karen from waking you.
We all be wanting to hear about your talk with the Overlord."
She could feel his unease when she mentioned Victoria.
"Is everything okay, Master?"
"Everything is fine right now,"
he told her, lightly brushing her lips with his. "I'll tell you all at once, okay?" She searched his face for a moment before she tightened her hold on him.
"Aye, it be as you wish."
"Oh, so he woke up finally, did he?"
Karen muttered, as her fingers danced along his ribcage. Albert squirmed under her tickling.
"Stop that!"
Karen giggled lightly, but stopped.
"For now. But I want to hear about your conversation." "As do I,"
Fluff added from the far side of Karen.
"It was nice to see you all asleep," Alberic said with a smile, shifting the topic at least momentarily. "It reminded me of a bit from an old show I watched. This one race, when they were contemplating marriage, the man would be watched for 3 nights while he slept by the woman who would be his bride. The idea was that she would be able to see his true face during those 3 nights, and use that to help her decide if he would be a good man to marry."
"So, what did you think about us?"
Fluff asked, before the others could think of anything.
"That you're all beautiful, and that I am probably the luckiest man on this world."
"Sap," Karen said, kissing him.
When she broke the brief but passionate kiss, she sat up, stretching out her naked frame.
"So, spill. What did you and Victoria talk about?"
He realized that they were all naked as Karen threw back the sheet.
"How is it that we always seem to end up naked in bed?"
he asked, dodging the moment for a bit longer.
"You be trying to stall,"
Stacia said simply. Realizing he was cornered, he gave in. "Okay. I'll tell you as best as I can recall the conversation. It's the last part that bothers me." Albert sat up and propped his back against the wall. Stacia felt his uncertainty, reaching out to rest her hand on his thigh.
"Did she say you was going to be taken from us?"
He paused.
"She didn't outright say anything like that. But I have a bad feeling about what is to come. Let me tell you, and we can all try to puzzle it out."
He launched into his recounting of the conversation. When he got to the part about the deal, he paused as a quest pop-up appeared before him. Quest: a deal with the Overlord. Requirements: help Vladimir search the City of Peace. Alpha Company must participate in the raid on the Forgotten Prison. Be alive when the final boss falls in the Forgotten Prison raid. Love and be loved by your wives. Rewards: the full truth, and a boon from the Overlord. As he looked at the quest details, he heard gasps from the others.
"Did you all just get a quest notification?"
Albert asked, seeing each of them focusing on something he couldn't see. They nodded and Stacia gripped his hand.
"You always seem to do the unexpected."
"Let me finish the last little bit of the story," Albert told her, then described the final conversation. When he was done, they all seemed lost in thought for a moment.
"I do not like it,"
Stacia shuddered.
"It feels like you will be taken from us."
"I agree with Stacia," Karen hissed slightly in frustration.
"What the fuck? Why would she do this?"
"If he remembered what she said correctly, then I think I have a few ideas,"
Fluff said. As all eyes turned to her, she took a deep breath.
"Before people could come to Alpha World, there were rumors around Mindblown of another project that would come after it. Victoria dropped the name Delta World a few times during meetings when I was working on art for Alpha World. I think it means they're going to send him to Delta World. The boon she hinted at might be so Stacia can go with him.
A hand seemed to clench his heart. That would mean I lose you and Karen.
Karen growled as she looked from him to Fluff and back to him. At him.
That's seriously fucked up.
Mayhap the boon be for all of us,
Stacia pointed out. Karen ground her teeth, her hands clenching spasmodically.
It damn well better be. I didn't just find my perfect family, only to lose it because some AI hussy thinks she should stick her nose into our business.
Fluff touched Karen's shoulder.
Karen, it will be okay.
Now that Stacia mentions it, I think she might be right. Victoria said it would be a boon he would want, but he didn't know it. The quest also states in the requirements that we all love each other.
Karen's hands slowly stopped opening and closing as she took a few deep breaths.
Okay, fine. We just have to hope that this boon is what we think it is. We also need to complete the other parts of the quest,
Fluffball reminded her.
Maybe we should focus on that. The City of Peace be lost in the Deadlands,
Stacia told them.
Yonis mentioned it, saying the king was likely to send an expedition in the next few months to try to find it.
Vladimir asked if we could help him with a task once we reach level 80, Albert added. So we should focus on leveling, as I'm sure Vladimir intends to beat the king to the city. The three women exchanged glances before nodding.
Do we tell Gerald and Mary Sue as much as we can and drag them along with us? Or do we find another tank and healer?
Karen said after a moment of silence. The other three all felt torn at her question. They had gotten to this point with Gerald and Mary Sue. It would feel wrong to not include them. But Gerald was going to be tied down with running the guild and managing the town and the keep, and whatever other duties he'd ended up with as a noble. That was likely going to cut way down on the time Gerald and Mary Sue would have for adventuring.
We should explain the quest as much as we can. They should know. I wouldn't like them not knowing,
Fluff added. Albert agreed with her. Yeah, let's explain it and see what they think. I don't want there to be any bad blood between us, especially since I did dump the whole guild and noble thing on him.
Mary Sue wanted it,
Stacia pointed out.
Thou would have had Gerald askin', if Enya had nay already offered it to him.
I'll send him a message and see if we can meet up to talk. The new people won't be showing up until midnight tonight. There's also your sister's wedding today, Albert reminded them, looking at Stacia.
Aye, but we nay be participating. We have a few hours before we have to be at the ceremony. Then there'll be the reception.
Let's get dressed and go talk to Gerald,
Karen said as she got out of bed.
Is the wedding going to be like yours?
Fluff asked as she followed Karen out of bed.
Aye. Identical, I be thinking.
Stacia nodded.
But you're not one of the bridesmaids?
Karen asked, puzzled.
Nay. Married women nay be allowed to stand as bridesmaids,
Stacia said as she finally got out of bed.
It be tradition that the maids be paired up with potential partners.
Karen nodded. Like I had been with Marion, or Aaron was with Wilbur.
Aye, it'd be one of the ways to try bringing people together, to see if a spark exists between the pair.
So we'll be at a secondary table?
Fluff asked, as she slipped into her pants and situated her tail through the gap for it.
Aye,
Stacia nodded as she got her shirt on.
We'll be going to the house to get dressed for the wedding.
That's good, Albert replied as he shrugged his armor on. I don't have my good clothes here.
None of us do,
Karen added as she slipped her leather armor on.
Did you already message Gerald?
Rolling his eyes, Albert grabbed his mind stone and sent off the quick message. Yes.
Good.
Karen nodded as she attached her blades to her belt.
I'm ready.
Fluff's armor went on with a jingle of scale.
I'm ready as well. Breakfast while we wait for Gerald to respond,
Stacia asked. Probably the best idea, Albert agreed, as he stepped over to the door, opening it with a flourish. The dining room was mostly empty. A handful of people sat around the room having breakfast. The four of them picked a table near the door and sat down.
A human male wearing an apron came over as they sat.
"Morning. I'll have your food out in a moment. Did you all want coffee?"